And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about a very important subject. I want to share some things with you, and I believe you'll be blessed by today's message. You know, history is an interesting thing. I've often quoted Henry Ford, the great automaker and industrialist, who was asked about history, and he said, history is bunk. In other words, it's garbage. Well, that's because there's so many people that don't want to know the truth or afraid to tell the truth, and they're cowards, and they write false histories. They say, this is what the world really needs to hear or wants to hear. And for me to get ahead, I'm a professor of history at some big muckety-muck university, and for me to be rewarded with pay raises and bonuses and be able to write books for major publishers and journals and become famous as a historian, I better go along with what they tell me to say. That's why so many books, you know, I can go out and get 20 books on Hitler and they're all the same. Oh, they might change a little bit. They're all the same, though. I buy book after book on what happened at Pearl Harbor, but nobody really tells you. You can buy book after book about what happened at 9/11, but none of them really tell you anything. And there'll be another 100 written. Now, there's a few books that are written that tell the truth, but these sort of go down the black hole. You know, read George Orwell's 1984, and the real news goes down the black hole and is never seen again. I'm afraid that when I pass away here on Earth, all of my books will probably go in some black hole, too. If you want Tex Mars' books and videos, you better order them now. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stand here, you know, when God will bring me home, and then my books will probably be missing too. Somebody told me that I went to my local, they said, Tex, I went to my local library in Georgia, I think the state of Georgia, out of Atlanta, and I saw that none of your books were there, and I said, well, you know, Tex Mars' books are really bestsellers. Why don't you have any of his books here? They professed they didn't even know who I was. So he went out and bought five or six of my best-selling books and brought them, including a couple I had number one best-selling books, brought them to the library, and they just thanked him so nicely and said, oh, thank you so much. Well, he went in there in about another month, and he found none of my books were on the shelves. He said, well, what happened to those books I gave you of Tex Mars? You didn't even offer them. I can see in your card catalog here, there's no record of them. You never put them up. And the little meek little librarian said, well, we had a library committee and they said that some people might be offended by Tex Mars' books. He said, well, you have the Satanic Bible on your shelves. You have a book called The Satanic Witch on your shelves. You have the book called Sex, a pictorial biography of sex positions by the entertainer Madonna. That's all on your shelves. Are you saying nobody complains about those books, but they might complain about Tex Mars? He doesn't even have one word of profanity in his books. Doesn't have any dirty pictures in his books. Well, we were just concerned. Our editorial committee decided we better not put those out. He said, what did you do with them? She said, I don't know. He finally found them. They were, you know, sort of stuffed on the floor in some little clerk's office way back. I guess they were going to wait a while till this guy left and pitch them in the trash can. He said, you got books here that nobody ever reads. I noticed that people don't even check them out, but Tex Mars' books are big bestsellers. Well, we just don't want to offend anybody. Hey, folks, that's not the point, that they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want true history. Tex Mars is a historian, and I tell the truth. They don't want that out there. Many years ago, some Christian lady called me. She said, I was just at my local Christian bookstore, and I said, do you have the newest book by Tex Mars? And the woman said, yes, I do. And she went to the back room and brought it out. She said, well, what was it doing in the back room? Well, we don't keep them out on the shelves. They're too controversial. You know, friends, someday that's what they're going to do to the Bible. They're already doing it to the King James Bible. Some bookstores are too afraid to put the King James Bible on the shelves. Somebody might object that likes all these new versions. Oh, cowards, cowards everywhere, aren't there? Little people. Penny ante minds. Their minds are in a cesspool, and they offer books that are full of, well, monstrosities, but they don't want to know the truth. Well, today we're going to talk some truth. And, you know, I was at a prophecy conference some years ago. That's before I used to be invited to a lot of these by evangelicals before they found out that I was an anti-Semite. Suddenly the whole world knows I'm an anti-Semite. Now, I don't consider myself an anti-Semite, but I suppose the Jewish ADL or AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, would say, yeah, Tex Mars, he's an anti-Semite. Of course, they say everybody's an anti-Semite. I once read that a rabbi gave a sermon in his synagogue. He says 98% of Americans are anti-Semites. So, folks, I suppose you are too. Don't try to escape it. Go look in the mirror. When you wake up every morning, look in the mirror, you're seeing the face of a vicious anti-Semite. 98% of Americans are anti-Semites. This is interesting because 2-3% of Americans are Jews. And, you know, they say even some of them are anti-Semites. My good friend Henry Macko, who's a Jew from Canada, he's written two books that we offer about the Illuminati, exposing the Illuminati. They say he's a self-hating Jew, anti-Semite. Yeah, if you expose the Jews or Israel or Zionism and you're Jewish, you're a self-hating anti-Semite. I've talked to Henry Macko. It doesn't seem like he hates himself too much. Seems like, you know, he's a pretty friendly guy and thinks a lot of himself, which I think he should. He's very, very distinguished, very accomplished in his life. He ought to be, you know, a little, not prideful like the Bible says, but, you know, happy at what you've accomplished. I never knew that Henry Macko was a self-hating Jew. I really don't think he is, but that's what they would call him. I like him to call me names. Jerry's over here at our broadcasting booth. Don't you like it when they call Tex Mars names? No, you don't like, well, you're my friend. That's why you're biased. You're prejudiced. I know. I like it though. It means I'm doing a good job. Michael Collins Piper, who's another good friend of mine. He's not Jewish, but if he was, he'd be a self-hating Jew again, an anti-Semite. He's written a new book out. It's called Confessions of an Anti-Semite. Confessions of an Anti-Semite. We're going to offer that through the ministry. You can buy it from us. Confessions of an Anti-Semite. I said, well, Michael, I didn't know you were an anti-Semite. He said, I didn't either, but that's what they're calling me. I said, well, then you must be. If the Jews are calling you one, you've got to be one. It must be true. And he laughed. What can you do but laugh at these people? You know, just sort of laugh. And you know, the Bible says that God, the evildoers in this world, God will laugh at their calamities. So not God. He's so sober-minded. He cries, but he never laughs. That's not what the Bible says. The Old Testament says that if you disobey God, you're a rebel against God and his kingdom, he will laugh at your calamities. Just think about it. I was reading about this Jewish pornographer named Al Goldstein. He's one of the most vicious pornographers in the world. He put out a magazine called, dare I even say it, Screw, S-C-R-E-W, Al Goldstein. He said he published pornography because he said, like all the other Jewish pornographers, and they run pornography in America, he says, yeah, we run pornography. We're the ones that put out all the magazines and all the triple X rated movies, and we do it because we despise Jesus and Christianity. That's what he said. They put out their pornography, the Jews do. They run the pornography rings in America. Al Goldstein said, we do it because we despise Christianity and Jesus. And the United States is a supposedly a Christian society. There's a lot of Christians here. We Jews are a minority. We hate Christianity and Jesus. We like to put out this. We like to pollute. We like to dirty up Christian society. That's why we do it. We want to pervert the Christians in America. That's their reason, said Goldstein. Well, Goldstein's in his late 60s or 70s now. I don't remember just what, but I just read something about him. He was very wealthy, but he ran through all his money. He was in the pornography business, and he evidently made millions, but he blew it all with prostitutes and all kind of other stuff. Now he's almost penniless. He wouldn't even have a place to live except his good friend, Penn Jillette of the comedy team, the Jew Jillette of the Penn and Teller. I'm sorry, Penn. Jillette Penn, I think his name is. No, Penn Jillette. That's right, Penn Jillette. He's a very filthy mouth, dirty comedian who's part of the group, the two-man group called Penn and Teller. He's a good friend of Al Goldstein, and he evidently bought him an apartment. Or not bought it, but rented it for him. He found Al Goldstein out on the street, homeless. After going through millions of dollars, this one of the most famous Jewish pornographers in the world was homeless. Didn't he have a place to stay? Didn't have a cent to his name. You know what I think? If that was his personal calamity, I think God was laughing at him. Say, no, God wouldn't laugh at a guy that's homeless out on the street. He would at Al Goldstein. Yes, he would. But after all, I'm an anti-Semite. What do I know, huh? Now, I want to talk today about a man that I think God did not put out on the street. In fact, he prospered him. He prospered this man I'm going to tell you about because of his Christian witness. A man with courage and boldness who stood for righteousness. His name was Martin Luther. He lived there during the years 1483 to 1546. And he wrote a book. It's a big book. People are so afraid of the book, they're fearful of the book, it's not even published in America anymore. I don't even know it's published anywhere in the world. It's called Martin Luther on the Jews. I think I'm going to publish it. If I have to get a German to come in and translate it for me, there was only one translation done in English, I think by Concordia Lutheran Publishing House, and they put it out of print. I guess it offended people. Martin Luther, what did he say about the Jews? Do you know Martin Luther, of course? He once was revered and honored by true Christians everywhere for his courage in opposing the corruption of the papacy, the pontiff, the Holy Father, so-called. He was known as a man of personal integrity, godly conduct. He wrote his 95 theses and nailed them on the doors of the Wittenberg Germany Church, and he declared that he would no longer compromise, or he would not compromise, with liars, sodomites, murderers, adulterers, and deceivers who had infiltrated and taken over the Catholic Church from within. He said, the Pope is the Antichrist, and I'm not going to be part of it. He was a Catholic priest who left the church, and he founded what we call the Protestant Christian Church. Protesting, you see. He was a protester against these homosexual and whoremongering reprobates that were the priests of the Catholic Church. Look where they're at today, folks. You know most priests are homosexuals and pedophiles. You know that. And they were back then. And Martin Luther said, I've had enough. I'm not going to be one of you. And of course, the Pope ordered him to be killed, to be assassinated. If they could have found him, hiding out where he was, is protected by other Protestants too, they would have killed him. He was a hero for God's work, a hero for protesting the sodomy, the lies, the deceptions, the murders of the Vatican. And he wrote a book, though, about the Jews. He was a great writer, wrote many things, but this is what I think this book is a classic. But no publisher in America will take it on by publishing it. Again, it's written in German. I think I'm going to take it on. I'm going to publish it, Jerry. I think I will. I like to do projects that nobody else will do. That's what our ministry does all the time. We tell the truth when nobody else will tell it. We don't care if it's about Joel Osteen or Billy Graham or Barack Obama or George W. Bush. We tell the truth. We're hated everywhere. We're equal opportunity exposers here. I wrote a book some years ago called Dark Majesty about the secret brotherhood, the Skull and Bones Society, and how the Bush family was a big part of it. Of course, George Herbert Walker Bush, the senior, was president at the time. and not realizing what the book was all about, but just knowing that it was by Tex Mars and he was a well-known Christian author, I was invited by the largest Christian television station in Orlando, Florida to come and be on their TV show. But by the time I got there, they invited me. They paid my way to come. Paid my air ticket. When I got there, the host of the show called me at the hotel and said, "I'm sorry, we have to disinvite you. We read your book. You exposed the Order of Skull and Bones. Well, the Bushes are part of that." He said, "Now, Tex, I know they are. I know they're evil. But you see, the Christian evangelicals love the Bushes. They're Republicans. The Christians think that they're evangelicals too. They're deceivers, so what can we do? But I can't tell anybody on the air. And I cannot have you say anything on the air. My board has already directed me to disinvite you. I can't have you on." I think it was Channel 56 in Orlando or something, whatever the station was. I said, "Well, it's okay, George. I don't, you know, that's okay." He said, "I really feel bad. You know, you came all this way and everything." I said, "You know what? It's very cold in Texas. It's wintertime. It's sunny here in Florida. It's beautiful. I love it here. Thanks for the vacation. Thanks for paying my way. 1 to 2. We love it here." He says, "Well, you're quite a man, Tex, not to be angry at me. I want you to be mad at you. You invited me. You wanted me to come. But you're bored. Doesn't want people to know the truth. That's okay." And you know, it's interesting. It was also Florida. Some years later, I did a book called Big Sister is Watching You, and I exposed Bill Clinton. That's the Democrats. See, first I exposed the Republicans, and the Republicans and the Christian evangelicals disinvited me. Then some years later, I did my book, Big Sister is Watching You, exposing Hillary and Bill Clinton, and the Democrats hated me. I went to, in fact, and it's ironic, I went back to Florida, and I was on a station there, one of the top stations in Miami. While I was on the station, a lady called in, and she said, "You said these terrible things about Hillary Rodham Clinton. Well, I want you to know I am going to get a copy of your book and I'm going to send it to the Attorney General Janet Reno and ask that you be prosecuted as a criminal." I said, "Ma'am, don't buy one, buy a whole case. Send them to everybody. See, send my book to everybody in the Clinton administration. And be sure to include Janet Reno. She's my favorite. She's my favorite lesbian monster. You make sure you quote me on that. She is a lesbian, Janet Reno, the Attorney General, and a monster for what she did at Waco in murdering those people, the Koreshites. Yeah, she gave the order, burn them all up, gas them all and burn them. So you send her a copy of my book. Be sure and do that. And by the way, don't all you people out there, buy them and send them all to your favorite Democrat congressmen and senators. I need my sales to go up. I can tell not many Democrats are going to buy my book, so I need you to. Buy it just so you can turn me and send a copy to the FBI and the CIA, your local police chief. Report me as a criminal for saying the truth." "Well, I'm going to do that," she said. "I'm going to send a copy of your book." I said, "That's great. I can just see my sales. I was afraid this book wasn't going to sell many copies. Now I'm beginning to think it will. Democrats are going to read it just so they get mad at me." Oh, my goodness. Now, I was very fortunate that time. It turned out that Mike Thompson was the guest, that was the host. And if my memory serves me right, Mike Thompson was a great guy that believed in the truth. He was the host there. Now, he didn't last long as the host. At that Miami station, they turned it over to a bunch of liberals, but he did his best. So, folks, I sympathize with Martin Luther. But I was at this prophecy conference in Missouri, and there were Jewish dignitaries that had been invited. The religious affairs consul from the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. was there. An Israeli general was there. And a guy named Dr. David Allen Lewis, who was a big kiss-up to the Jews and to Zionism, he was an Assembly of God evangelist, was there. And boy, did I ever make them all mad. They called me an anti-Semite and never wanted to invite me back again. And you know what my sin was, Jerry? The title of my talk was, now Christians, this was a Christian conference, but they had invited these Israeli dignitaries. That's what evangelicals do. They invite the Zionist killers and monsters to come too, you know. So I seized the opportunity. You know, as the Marxist Jewish Illuminist would say, seize the day, carpe diem, seize the moment. Well, I seized it. And my talk was, Jesus is Israel's only hope. I told them, hey, Israel, hey, Zionist Jews in Israel, Jesus is your only hope. Without Jesus, you're nothing and you're doomed. Boy, that got them mad. They refused. The Israeli general refused to shake my hand. The Israeli consul just stalked out of the room. And Dr. Lewis called me an anti-Semite for giving a sermon preaching Jesus. It offended them. It offended people. People were here, he said, not to hear that Jesus was the only path to salvation for the Jews. Well, they weren't here to hear that. He said, Assembly of God guy telling me, basically, you're an anti-Semite for preaching Jesus to people. Yeah, well. Now, that's Martin Luther's problem. He preached Jesus to the Jews, and they hated him. And he wrote a book about the Jews. I want to talk about Martin Luther on the Jews. What did he say? First of all, I want to quote Jesus, then I'm going to quote Martin Luther. Now, you tell me who was right and who was not. Or maybe both of them are right. Here's Jesus first. From John chapter 8, 44. Listen closely. This is Jesus' words. He was speaking to the Pharisees, who are the Orthodox Jews. Yes, the Encyclopedia Judaica of today says that the Pharisees of yesterday are the Orthodox Jews of today. They believe and teach the same things, which Jesus said are the traditions of men and not of God. But let's see what else Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 44. He told the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Huh. Your father is the devil, Jesus said, and you'll do whatever he does. And he's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not tell the truth. That's what Jesus said about the Jews. I guess he didn't mind offending people, huh? He's no nimby-pamby guy. He just told the truth. It's amazing that's still in the Bible. I'm sure the new versions, click, 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 they're using their scissors right now, cutting it out. But the King James has it. You can still read this in the King James version, and it'll be in some Bible forever because God says his word will be preserved forever and ever. So go to it, new versions. Serve the devil, but the King James Version is going to keep right on. Now, here's what Martin Luther writes in his book, The Jews and Their Lies, about the Jews. He says, they are the real liars and bloodhounds who have perverted the scriptures from beginning to end without ceasing with their interpretations. In like manner, murderers and whores, thieves and scoundrels, and all evil men. That's what Martin Luther said. Now, who was right, Jesus or Martin Luther? Are both of them. That's what I believe. In fact, sounds to me like Martin Luther was almost echoing Jesus Christ. Now, at first, history books tell us that Luther befriended the Jews. He tried to be friends of the Jews. He didn't really know about their religion that much. He just thought, well, they must believe in the Old Testament. That's what they preach in their synagogues. There were a lot of German Jews, and he became their friends. He invited them over for coffee, for food, and they would discuss religion, and he would talk religion with them. I'm sure he told them about Jesus. They refused to believe. He said he would like to win the Jews over to Jesus. He wanted to be their friend. He thought Christians should, you know, sort of take it as a project to love and be friends of the Jews. But then, he decided to learn more about what was going on in the Jewish communities. They kept to themselves. They didn't invite, you know, the Gentiles to come into their homes. He invited the Jews into his home, but they would not invite him. He didn't know why that was. Luther found out because he was a dirty Gentile and he's good only for dying. That's what they teach in their Jewish Talmud, their holy book. Somebody told Martin Luther that the Jews have their own holy book where they learn the law, the halakha. And so he found out, he discovered that the Jews don't necessarily, even the rabbis who invited over his house, the rabbis said, you know, we not only have the Old Testament, but we have the Talmud. We have the Kabbalah. And we believe that it too is of God. Well, Martin Luther wanted to be friendly to his Jewish rabbi friends, and so he went out and got the Talmud and read it and learned from it. And he discussed it with the rabbis, then he went back and read it again, and he was horrified. He was horrified. This book, they say, is their holy guide, their guide for daily living. This book is superior to the Old Testament. This is the Jews' holy book that has their law in it. Oh, my goodness, thought Martin Luther. You see, he intensified his research then into the Jewish belief system. He wanted to know what about this religion called Judaism. He investigated the Jews. In their communities, he found out about their depraved sexual lust, their depraved lifestyles, their sewer-like immorality, their secret blood rituals, their sacrifice of animals, their satanic worship, their hatred of Jesus and the New Testament, their hatred of every man and woman in the world except for the Jews, their belief that they were like gods put on earth. They were God's chosen and everybody else was, well, nothing but cattle, the goyim. He was flabbergasted. He was amazed that the Jews taught such things, practiced such evils. And by their sinister conduct and monstrously unethical teachings, he finally found out, to his dismay, that the Jews were truly Satan's own, the spawn of Satan himself. They were from the pit of hell, and Judaism was a satanic religion. And so the great Martin Luther discovered that Jesus, yes, Jesus, had revealed these things and had told the truth. The Jews were accurately seen by Luther as the spiritual offspring of their father, the devil. Jesus told the truth. Of course, Luther knew he did, but he wanted to discover it for himself, I suppose. Their religion was not good. It was not righteous. It did not come from the Old Testament. It was a religion from hell. As Jesus said, complete with man-made traditions and interpretations, the doctrines of devils, and no religion on earth, Luther realized, was so blatantly and patently demonic and evil. Surely the Jews were possessed by Satan, or their religion could not be this evil, nor their hatred of Jesus and his children so vile, Luther reasoned. Being persuaded, my dear friends, by years of research, investigation, and documentation, Martin Luther determined that with God's leading and inspiration, he would expose to all the world the Jews' religion. And thus he began to write from their own documents, from their own law books, from their own practices. He said, here are the Jews. Martin Luther told the truth. No wonder today he is called an anti-Semite. We're going to find out what Martin Luther said in his book. I'm going to read you direct from it, and it will shock you, dear friends. Martin Luther, what he said. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We'll be right back with much more. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. Hey, you want to know what Martin Luther said about the Jews? Well, I have 13 pages, 13 big formatted pages of Martin Luther's writings and sayings about the Jews. This is some of the most important information you will ever read in your life. You know, Luther was, of course, the founder of the Lutheran Church. There are several Lutheran denominations, but today they're frightened of Martin Luther, their own founder. They're the Lutheran Church, but they're afraid of what he said about the Jews, and they won't even publish his book. But we will here at Power Prophecy if we, well, we're going to be able to get enough money. If you want to contribute to this cause, and we can do it, we'll publish his book in English. And just like we published the Protocols of Zion in the Synagogue of Satan books, we'll probably be the only ones in the world, but that's the way it goes. Martin Luther wrote this book, and it's so important. But right now, you can find out what Martin Luther said. Did you know, dear friends, that in his last sermon as a very old man, he got up to the pulpit, and he said, today, and everybody knew this is probably going to be his last sermon. He had so little energy left. They knew that soon our Father in heaven would call him and take him. And Martin Luther said that. He said, I don't know how much time I have left, but not very much. But in this last message to you, my dear friends in the whole Christian church, I want to warn you again about the religion of the Jews. His last sermon, he warned the Christian church about the religion of the Jews. That was his witness. That was his testimony. The last warning of Martin Luther was, watch out for the Jews. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy every vestige of Christianity. That was the last sermon of Martin Luther. Now, you know, I've written a new book called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and that's where I put all of this information about Martin Luther. I talk all about what we're talking about today, and you'll read, though. I wish I had time to read everything that he said, everything that I've listed in my book here. Given the fact that Martin Luther's book is not published in English, as far as I know, this is the only book. My Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star is the only book that has this information about Martin Luther in it, and all of these things. You know, I got this, there's only one book out there ever published in English that's not available anymore. I got a copy of it, and I discovered what Martin Luther had said. You see, so many Christians have told me that Martin Luther is an anti-Semite. I said, really? I said, why? They said, well, you know, he wrote bad things about the Jews. I said, well, what did he write? They said, I don't know, but it was bad. Have you ever read it? No, I've never read it, but my pastor told me that. Really? But you really don't know what Martin Luther said? They said, no, but it must have been bad. That's probably what they say about Tex Mars. I don't know what Tex Mars wrote, but it must be bad. My pastor said it was. Of course, their pastor hadn't read my books either, but that's about par for the course. I've written this book called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. The subtitle is right on target. It says, Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge. That's what Martin Luther's information is. Eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds. Now, there's a title that'll get you your book taken out of bookstores. And forbidden by the world. Oh, yeah. I mean, this book actually offends somebody. You'll learn all kind of things about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds. And one of them is what Martin Luther said about the Jews and wrote about it. Why, that's dangerous material. That's dangerous. You can't, this is cosmic dynamite. You can't have this book. Well, wait, you can have the book. You can order it from us. Now, how much is this book? $25, I think. Yeah, $25. It's big format. It's big as a major city phone book. It's one of those TexMars specials. I write my little fingers off till I get bony finger syndrome, and then I quit for a little while, and then I go back again and do the next book. Well, this is my book for you. About greed, money, murder, blood. About Rothschild's dark secret plan for America. You'll learn everything in here about Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, George W. Bush, John Kerry, Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, Newt Gingrich, Lord Jacob Rothschild, John McCain. Hey, you'll learn some things about Jack Ruby, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald you never knew before. You'll learn some things about Lee Harvey Oswald, too. About Vice President Spiro Agnew. I liked old Spiro. Spiro who? Agnew. He was sort of a Greek hero. And in this book, you'll learn why he was a hero. Yes, he was. You'll know who really killed Robert Kennedy, Jack Kennedy. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Friends, Satan cast a dark shadow on this world. That's why you need a spotlight. And the spotlight is this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, part of the book. $25, $5 shipping and handling, total of $30. Write us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. If you can, as they say, tuck in a $5 or $10 or $20 love gift when you order it. It's $30 postpaid, $25 for the book, $5 for the shipping and handling. If you can afford to pay more, say the rest of it, Texas, for your ministry, you know, I don't get any royalties on this book. I promise you, I don't see 1 cent of royalties on this book. It all goes back into the ministry, into our work here. But I'm going to tell you right now, I have treasures hidden up. Do you know that, Jerry? I have treasures hidden up they don't know about. They're up in heaven. All my royalty checks go to heaven, I guess. I shouldn't say that. Then that makes it look like I'm waiting for a mansion. On the other hand, Jesus did say, I have a mansion prepared for you. I'm willing just to sleep in a tent up in heaven or a shack, but he said I was going to have a mansion. I think I'll take it. Why not? Does that make me greedy to say, okay, whatever Jesus says, I'll do? No, I don't think so. In fact, I'm going to do a talk next month called Do As He Says. If he's got a mansion for you, go live there in heaven. You know, he might have one on earth for some people. I don't know if that's true, then do it. I'm not going to argue with Jesus. I don't argue with Jesus. I never argue with him. I've never known Jesus do anything wrong. I've never known him to give me bad advice. Usually when I make a mistake is when I use my own advice. All right. Our address again is Power of Prophecy, or just write to Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, the Republic of Texas. Well, don't write that on your envelope. 78733. And our website, of course, has been there for many years, powerofprophecy.com. Jerry Barrett does a great job as our webmaster on that. If you find anything wrong with it, blame him, not me. See, Jerry, I'm telling you, I'm really getting you fixed up, aren't I? Yeah, write to his wife. Tell her, Leslie. It's a dear Leslie, Jerry messed up. She'll fix it. She'll fix your wagon, Jerry. Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's a great gal. She is a good gal. I like Leslie. I like her smile. She's a real sweetheart. You really married up, Jerry. Okay. I did too. I know. I married up. Wanda's sweet. She's as sweet as can be. Okay. I almost lost track of what I was saying when I was talking about Wanda being sweet. Got me so thrilled, you know. Tell her I said that, Jerry. Maybe she'll cook me a special dinner some night this week. Powerofprophecy.com is where you can order the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673 during the work week. And that's 8 to 5:30 Central Time. That is, again, toll-free. Don't pay for the number. Call it free, 1-800-234-9673. When you order this book, we'll extend your subscription to Power Prophecy Monthly Newsletter that comes to your door in the mail, or we'll start you a subscription. You don't even have to ask us. We're going to put your name on it. Isn't that great? Usually you have to ask for everything. Then they want to charge you. We're going to give it to you free for at least 6 months. I want to tell you something right now before we go any further. We just finished our yearly financial statement, Wanda did. And as it turned out, just like last year and the year before, as far as us selling books and videos, we lost money. You know, when you add it all up, all the income and all the expense for our radio program, our newsletter, our website, our employees, you know, our facility here, we're in a facility, a building, and all of our expenses added up to more than we brought in income. That's just true. Now, why are we still here if we've lost money? It's because of your contributions, your love gifts, over and above the price of our products. What you give extra actually keeps us going. It does. That's the only way we keep going. And some of you even, you know, help us out with our employee appreciation fund. You help us out there and give for our employees. So, folks, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You have made this ministry possible. And I don't know of goodness. I'm really not bragging. I'm just telling the truth. This is the only ministry you will find like this in America. It's the only one that will say these things. I don't know of any church in America where the pastor will preach about what Martin Luther said about the Jews. If you know of a church where he actually preached Martin Luther told the truth about the Jews, your pastor did, would you let me know? I want to write him a letter and thank him. And by the way, you may want to order this book, my book, Conspiracy 6-Point Star, and give it to him and say, start with page 379 and read all about Martin Luther and what he said about the Jews, Pastor. You know, he may be surprised. I didn't know these things. Somebody came up and told me Martin Luther was an anti-Semite. Did you know that, Tex Morris? So I said, well, I'm going to find out about that. So I went out and studied. I found out what he said. I liked what he said. I reported what he said in this book. And by the way, that prophecy conference I was talking to you about, the one in Missouri, where, you know, Dr. David Allen Lewis of the Assembly of God, where they had the Israeli consul and the Israeli general that refused to shake my hand because I said Jesus was the only hope. That was where I first found out that Martin Luther was an anti-Semite, according to them. It was by that Dr. Lewis. He gets up and tells everybody Martin Luther was an anti-Semite. He told the whole crowd that. I couldn't believe that. So I did decide to do my own study. I have that inquiring mind. I listen to people. I listen to everybody, but I don't always believe them. That's a good thing. Even Tex Mars. I get this book and read what Martin Luther said, and then you tell me if you agree with him or not. You may not agree. Jesus did. Jesus did. Well, okay, let's return to our regular program. We sold our book. I suppose a million copies will be bought from that ad that I just gave. But if not a million, maybe a couple dozen, something. We need it to keep our ministry going. Now, let's talk some more about Martin Luther. He wrote, actually the title of his book was The Jews and Their Lies. Now, here's how he explained why he wrote this heavily documented and scholarly volume. He says, and I'm quoting Martin Luther, he said, I had made up my mind to write no more either about the Jews or against them. But since I learned that those miserable and accursed people do not cease to lure to themselves even us, that is the Christians, I have published this book, so that I might be found among those who opposed such poisonous activities of the Jews and who warned the Christians to be on their guard against them. Isn't that something? He said, I wrote this book so that I would be found among those who opposed their poisonous doctrines. Now, that takes courage. That's boldness. Folks, why did I write my books about the New Age, Satanism, and the occult? I wanted to be numbered among those who said, I'm not going to be part of this. Why did I expose all of these political evildoers, Republican and Democrat? Because like Martin Luther says, I oppose their poisonous activities, and I want to be found among those who oppose it. I don't mind being called names. I don't mind being called hater, anti-Semite, vicious Christian, dangerous person. I want to be found in that book that Jesus writes up in heaven and puts my name down. The people that he's pleased with. I don't want to make the most admired list here on earth. Do you, Billy Graham and all those, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, put their names down as the most admired men. They're invited to the teas and the coffees at the White House. That ain't me. Excuse my Texas expression. That ain't me, Lord. I want to be counted among the people that expose the evildoers. God asked in the Old Testament, who will stand up for us? He's speaking to the whole court. He has his court in heaven. You better read about it. He has a whole, talk about the court of Jesus and God in heaven. He's on the throne and they're all down there bowing and praising him night and day. Hosanna, Hosanna. And he says to them, who on earth, who will go for us? Who will stand up? The prophets of the Old Testament said, here am I, Lord, send me. Please send me. Isaiah, I'm positive, said that. Ezekiel said that. I think Martin Luther said, Lord, I'll write this. I'll tell the truth. I'll write about the Jews and their lies. I know people will scour me. I know people will hate me. I know people will denounce me. The Jews are rich. They were rich in Germany. At that time, they were the most wealthy people among all the German citizens. Dangerous to go against the Jews. He had already gone against the Christian church, supposedly the Christian church, the Catholic, the Vatican. He had opposed the Sodomites and the depraved Catholic priest. He identified them as part of the Antichrist. They were out to kill him. He was often in hiding from the Catholic assassins. Now he's got the Jews to worry about, and now they're going to want to kill him. But he says, I wrote this book, I published it, that I might be found among those who opposed such poisonous activities and who warned the Christians to be on their guard against them. I would not have believed, says Luther, that a Christian could be duped by the Jews into taking their exile and wretchedness upon himself. However, the devil is the god of this world, and wherever God's word is absent, he, the devil, has an easy task, not only with the weak, but also with the strong. May God help us. Amen. He said, many Christians have been deceived by these people. They've even taken on the wretchedness of the Jews upon themselves. Friends, that's what Christian evangelicals have done today. They bought into Zionism. They bought into Israel first. They bought into Judaism. And they bring it into their churches. The wretchedness of the Jews' religion, they bring into the Christian church. And Martin Luther said, I would not have believed that a Christian would do such a thing. But the power of the devil is so much that they've been duped. Now, one of the areas discussed by Luther in his book is the arrogant boast of the Jews that their race is more noble, more holy, and more deserving of praise. In their synagogues, Luther writes, they pray, sing, teach, and thank God that they have been set apart from the Gentiles. This, Luther writes, quote, is a fool's boast, the gratitude of barbarians who blaspheme God. He said it's a spirit devoid of true faith. He said no one can take away from the Jews their pride concerning their blood and their descent from evil. In the Old Testament, they lost many a battle and wars over this matter, though no Jew understands this. All the prophets of the Old Testament censored them for this attitude, for it betrays an arrogant, carnal presumption devoid of spirit and faith. They were also slain and persecuted for this reason. Saint John the Baptist took them to task severely because of it, saying to the Jews, do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Matthew 3, verse 9. John did not call them Abraham's children, but Jesus called them a brood of vipers. Oh, that was too insulting for the noble race and race of Israel, and they declared of Jesus, he has demons. Our Lord called them a brood of vipers. Furthermore, in John 3, verse 39, Martin Luther states, it reads, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. You would believe in me. But you are of your father, the devil. This was intolerable for them to hear, that they were not Abraham's children, but the devil's children. And they cannot bear to hear this today. If they should surrender this boast and argument, their whole system of Judaism, which is built on it, would topple and change. But they strut before God and boast about being noble, exalted, and rich compared to other people. This, Martin Luther says, is devilish arrogance, since every birth according to the flesh is condemned before God without exception. Friends, there's no man that stands holy before God except he who has repented and has faith in Jesus and is cleansed from his sins and has Jesus in his heart. That is what Martin Luther is saying. But the Jews say, we need not this Jesus. He is of the devil. We are God's chosen. We are special. We are exalted because we are born according to the flesh as Jews. And Martin Luther says, everybody of every race, every birth is condemned before God. They're born in sin. But you say you are not because you're born of Abraham in his flesh. So if the Jews boast in their prayer before God and glory in the fact that they are the patriarch's noble blood lineage and children, and that he should regard them and be gracious, and God should regard them and be gracious to them in view of this, while they condemn the Gentiles as ignoble and not of this blood, my dear man, what do you suppose such a prayer will achieve? The Jews pray to God and say, thank you for making me so special, so holy. Thank you for making me a Jew and not one of these dirty Gentiles. And Martin Luther asked the question, what do you think such a prayer will achieve? What will God do of such a prayer? Here's what he writes. Martin Luther's words. This is what it will achieve. Even if the Jews were as holy as their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob themselves, yes, even if they were angels in heaven, on account of such a prayer, they would have to be hurled into the abyss of hell. How much less will such prayers deliver them from their exile and return them to Jerusalem? For what does such devilish, arrogant prayer do other than to give God's word the lie? Well, friends, let me tell you something here. This is Tex Martin speaking. They have returned, many of them, out of exile, so-called, into Jerusalem. Although I believe most of them are Khazar Jews. They're not even real Jews. The Bible says them, for them which say they are Jews, but are not, in Revelation 2 and 3. But nevertheless, they have not returned to Jerusalem under the banner of God, but of the devil. And every Christian evangelical listening to my voice today, if you favor these Zionist devils, if you praise their Judaism, if you assist Israel in its war making, in its bloodletting in the Middle East, you are doing the devil a big favor, and you will join him in his kingdom down below, believe me. Then Martin Luther put his attention upon the Jewish Talmud. He says, as the Talmud declares, the Jews are veritably a mixture of all the depraved and malevolent knaves of the whole world over. To afflict the different nations with their usury, to spy upon others, and to betray. They poison wells. They deceive and kidnap children. In short, they practice all kinds of dishonesty and injury. You see, Luther knew the Talmud well. He studied it. He quoted from it. He scolded the Jews for honoring so grotesque and offensive a religious rule book. Luther noted that the rabbis had the Old Testament as a guide, but they didn't want to use it. They preferred the Talmud because it praised them as gods. It said of their rabbis, no rabbi goes to hell. All rabbis go to heaven. You see, the Talmud even says that rabbis teach God what to do and what to say. They have more spiritual wisdom, the rabbis do, than God. No wonder he said they're going to be flung into the abyss of hell for these attitudes. And for what their own holy book says. Here's what he says. How much better, writes Luther, it would be if the Jews did not have God's commandment or did not know it. For if they did not have it, they would be uncondemned. They are condemned because they have God's commandment and do not keep it, but act against it without ceasing. In like manner, murderers and whores, thieves and scoundrels, and all evil men could boast they are God's holy and chosen people because they have his word and know that they should fear and obey him, but they do not. And then he compared the Jews' religion of Judaism and their Talmud, their holy book, with the heathen. That's atheists, that's pagan philosophers, that's all the religions of Zoroastrianism and Buddhism and Hinduism. He compared the Jews' religion. Here's what he says. He says, quote, the heathen philosophers write much more honorable than do the Jews. They write that man by nature is obligated to serve others, also to keep his word to his enemies. Yea, I maintain that in the fables of Aesop, there is more wisdom to be found than in all the books of the Talmudists and rabbis, and more than ever could come into the hearts of the Jews. Friends, in the fables of Aesop, written by pagans, he says there's more wisdom to be found than all the books of the Jews. And then he writes this, he says, should someone think I am saying too much, I am not saying too much, but too little. For I see in their writings how they curse us Gentiles and wish us all evil in their schools and prayers. They rob us of our money through usury. Friends, that's what the Jews today do. Wall Street, the banks, they own them, and they're robbing us and our government. Martin Luther continues. He says, they play us all manner of mean tricks. What is worst of all, they teach that such should be done. And friends, that's true. I've read the Talmud. And in this book, Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star, I quote the Talmud. They say in business, it's good to trick and cheat the Gentiles, deceive them. In fact, they say God will reward a Jew for cheating, for his corrupt business practices, as long as the victim is a Gentile. That's what it says in the Jews' own holy book. And Martin Luther writes about those things. He says, and this is Martin Luther again, he says, no heathen has done such things, and none would do so except the devil himself and those whom he possesses, like he possesses the Jews. They're possessed by the devil, he says. Even the heathen, even the other religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, the Muslims, none of them would even do these things. And folks, that's been my understanding. I've read the Quran, the Holy Quran of the Muslims. I don't believe in it. I preach to the Muslims Jesus. I want the Muslims to believe in the true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I don't find the hatred and the vile in the Quran that I do in the Talmud. Never did Muhammad say, hate all men except Arabs. He says, God wants all men to worship him, and all men are equal. How about that? Now, I'm not approving the Quran, except that is true. In God's eyes, all men are equal, and all men are condemned. And Galatians 3 says, only through faith in Jesus Christ does man enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says in the New Testament that it's not of your works, but of God's grace. He chooses you. You don't choose him. Don't say, I've chosen God, therefore I'm better than my fellow man. You're insane if you do that. He has chosen you from the foundation of the world. Before you were ever born, God chose you, if you're of him. Say, when I text, are you a Calvinist or whatever? I'm a Bible believer. I don't read about Calvin. I don't care about Calvin. I don't care about any man. I care about the Word of God. And I know that many of you listen to my voice here at Power of Prophecy Radio, you believe the same as I do. Don't put some label on me, except Bible believer, blood-bought child of God, servant. Yes, I am a servant. I'm in bondage, but I'm in bondage only to Jesus, my sovereign. Finally, Luther noted in their Bible, or so-called their Talmud, the Jews called Jesus the child of a whore, and his mother Mary a whore, whom she had in adultery. Reluctantly, he writes, I must speak so coarsely in opposing the devil. What about the Jews? What should we do? He says, we do not curse them, but wish them all manner of bodily and spiritual good. We even permit the Jews to lodge with us. We do not steal and mutilate their children. We do not poison their water. We do not thirst after their blood. Friends, that's what makes us different. We love the Jews. We ask, we beg, we beseech them to come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, whom so many of them hate and despise. And they hate us because we are of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Should we hate them in return? No. Some people say, Tex, do you think we should burn the Talmud? I would not own a copy unless God told you to do research or something. But no, I'm not for rounding up all the copies of the Talmud we could get from all the synagogues in America and taking them out and have a big bonfire. I'm not for that. I'm for a gentle, loving telling of the truth. I'm for speaking the truth about the Jews and their lies. Thank God for Martin Luther, who wrote a book with that exact title. This is Tex Mars. It's been great to be with you. My prayer, my friends, is that you'll be with us each week as we study the Bible, as we look at the world and history in a spirit of truth. So tune in and discover the power of prophecy.